Righto. So, I get to start and talk about Peter. Lovely Peter. We're sitting around while we're having the meal, and we're just kind of having a general discussion, and you just kind of think, is there not anything that Peter was involved in? You know, Peter's life, yeah, was just such a colorful life. To put it mildly, yeah. But it's great, I think, yeah, talking, bringing a character out of the Bible, and that's just let us speak to us. So I'm going to be speaking on Peter, the rock. The reason why I've decided to take that passage is, just as Joss was mentioning, we're ending off the whole, ended with the whole passage is about the church. And it's interesting that in this verse of what Jesus says to Peter. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read it to you there. It's Matthew 16, and I'm going to read from verse 13 to verse 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now what I did was I read loads of different interpretations of the Bible, but on J.B. Phillips, this was from the NIV, and just read as how this particular passage has been interpreted into the English language as we speak it. And it all comes very much, and of course, you know, the part where Peter says, you know, Jesus says to him, "You are Peter." And he says, "You are Peter, the rock," you know. "And on this rock," he says it. And it's difficult because, you know, the questions I ask myself when I look at it, and I think to myself, "Lord, why did you call Peter the rock?" It's interesting because just before he says, you know, "Peter the rock," he says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." And that's an aspect that brings out of where Simon has come from, where Simon Peter has come from. Now, we all know the history of Simon Peter, fisherman. All of us here today, no matter where you think you are, educational-wise or whatever, you are like a professor compared to Simon Peter. He was a fisherman. I don't think he could read and write. Just the times only the few could read and write properly. And so Jesus is saying to him, "Simon, son of Jonah," and then of course in the very next verse he says, "Simon, the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." Now the next question, you know, just those initial questions, I'm gonna expand on that in a moment, but just three simple, quick questions. Next one was, what is the rock that his church is being built on? I'm going to try and expound on that and try and break it down and see what people say about it and how we're going to look at interpreting on that when Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." And of course, the last question, did the church start with Peter? So what I've just broken up into three sections. The first section I've called the bedrock. The next one, the foundation stones. And the last one, the living stones. Now, the encyclopedia interprets the bedrock of the earth as following. Yeah. Geology, it's a solid piece of rock, solid, something that's over years become so solid, there's no gaps, nothing, and it lies just under the surface of the earth. Some places much deeper than others, and all the top area that we see, the soft area, the sands, everything, even the seas itself, everything is built, is lies upon the solid piece of rock that goes around the earth. And that's called the bedrock. Yeah. And we know when we build anything, we build any house, we've got to make that house stand firm on something. Now, do you know that the island of Manhattan was the initial area of high-rise buildings, skyscrapers? Yeah. The reason why they were able to build all those skyscrapers on the little island of Manhattan, so close together and so high, was the fact that the bedrock on Manhattan Island is so shallow. It's so close to the surface. Yeah. And there's certain parts of Manhattan Island where it's actually the bedrock is deeper. What's the name? Not depth-wise, but I mean the depth of the bedrock is deeper than the rest. And that's where some of the highest skyscrapers in Manhattan are built upon. Yeah. Now, technology has changed. Yeah. In that nowadays, you can build a skyscraper on a sand island. Dubai, you've been in those places. I don't think they've got really rocks that you can see on there. It might be deeper down, but they would have to go quite deep. But technology has enabled them to go that deep and build these massive skyscrapers. And I mean, the tallest buildings in the world are found in a lot of these places where you don't really have rock, just sand, and it's built on those things. And even if you go further back than that, even before you get skyscrapers, just think of those places at the time of Moses, built in the middle of the desert, those pyramids and those things. As much as they are sitting on the top that you can see, the depth that they got underneath is quite deep. But just think, you build anything on sand, over time it will just start dropping as the weight over years, or water under the ground moves things around and drops away. And just that whole thing of going back to that bedrock, we need a solid bedrock to build something on. Now, in as much as we talk about, you know, this bedrock that we talk about, we want our church, Jesus wants his church to be built on the rock. The question is, did the church start with Peter, or did the church always exist? I think it's important. We're trying to look at the life of Peter and think, how does he all fit into it? But sometimes if we think of Peter as being, and we misinterpret of who Peter is and what rock he actually stands for, we can get it all wrong. The church has always been there. The church has been there from the beginning of time. We know the verse in the passage that speaks about God chose us before the world began. And that speaks of our salvation and speaks of our part in God's great plan. But God has always had the church from the beginning of time. When he went and he had the Garden of Eden and he made man, you know, the church, his people that he set aside for him. And that's what the church is, that he's chosen people. He chose, and over time, through the Old Testament, as we read about it, read about God's chosen people. He chose a group of people, the Israelites, you know, to be separated as be specific people. And so that's the view of what the church has been over the years. The difference is the church as we see it now is very different as to how we read the church as we would look at the church in the Old Testament. The church in the Old Testament was very much more specific people, Israelites, or even specific Moses, David, and just certain aspects of that we look at. But then what is this about Jesus saying, Peter, you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church? When Jesus said this, sorry. You may, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know what.
No, you can go ahead, please. Always.
It seems an unusual thing to say to Peter because of his turbulence. I mean, he's. I love Peter because he shows aspects of us all. Mm-hmm. Doubt or his enthusiasm. No, you can't possibly, Lord, die. Lord. Yeah. Until I'm tired. First, he claims that he is the Christ. And then, no, you can't possibly die. And this turbulence, and he can lose his temper. And then the ultimate thing, Lord, I would die for you. Mm-hmm. And then it is that stressful time, and we've talked about stress over this weekend. Mm-hmm. And when we're stressed, all our weaknesses come to the surface. And he denied Christ.
Yeah.
But Jesus must have seen way all past this, and saw, in one sense, at the bedrock of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Really, he wasn't an educated man, like you say, but there must have been something that Jesus saw, a quality in him, way down in his spirit that he must have seen. If that makes any sense?
No, definitely. I mean, that's the part I'm just coming to about. No, that's fine. It's great. I mean, when Jesus said these words to Peter, they weren't even near Jerusalem. This was just way before they get into Jerusalem. This is in Philippi, you know, a distance, the traveling. It's way before he gets into them, into Jerusalem, way before he says to Peter, you know, you will deny me. It's way before Jesus dies on the cross, when Jesus rises on the cross, when Jesus reaffirms him, you know, all those kind of things. And yeah, Jesus saw something in his life. And yeah, it's great because it does speak of a life that in a lot of ways can relate to our own. He was nothing. Yeah. The important thing was Jesus was the one that called him. Jesus went to him. He went to Peter and his brother when they were fishing. And they said, and he said to them, follow me. As simple as that. And they dropped everything and they followed him. What they were getting into themselves into, God only knows.
So what are we saying? Hang on. Sorry. I should be asking questions or not. Man.
Go ahead, please.
Feels
do.
Like a Bible study to me. is it meaning, are we saying then that Peter's the rock, or is Jesus the rock?
Well, that's what I'm coming down to.
Oh, sorry. I was just, because you'd said, like, Peter the rock, I started thinking, is that, like,
yeah. Yeah, that Jesus said to him, Jesus called him Peter the rock, yeah.
Does it actually say that he is the rock, though?
Sorry. Well, that's what we're going to look at now. We're going to work at what the Bible says. Jesus calls him Peter the rock, and then in the next part he says, and on this rock I will build my church. Yep. But we've got to look at...
I didn't know he called him the rock, see?
Yep.
It says something about a rock. I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, in certain interpretations there you will see there's a little indentation. You click on that, and it just expands, and it says, you know, Peter the rock. Yep. Yeah, so if you look at certain Bible interpretations, it does say there, it's called Peter the Rock. That's what Jesus calls him in that passage. Yeah, but getting back to the whole thing of the bedrock and what we're saying, what is this church built on? I think we've got to realize that even though, you know, Jesus uses that this is Peter the Rock and on this rock, it's difficult because I don't speak the original, the Greek, what it was written into. I don't know what the interpretation over time. I've read as much as I could, yeah. And that's not going to expand on what certain understanding has come out of that, of how to interpret that. But I think it's important before we even look of that, it's just to remind ourselves of the importance of who Jesus is. All through the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, every aspect of the Bible speaks about Jesus building his church. It speaks about Jesus being the rock upon which our faith is built, you know. And that's why I've started the whole thing with the bedrock. That bedrock underlines the whole world. It sits underneath there, a solid piece, and it keeps everything in place. No matter where. Some places more shallow to the surface, other places deeper, but it's there. Just as with Jesus. Jesus is there all through our life. And everything we build our lives upon, and even as we look upon the church that we've just spoken about, it is built upon Jesus. Jesus has always been and will always be. Peter only existed for a brief moment in history. One day we will see Peter in eternity with all of us. Yeah? But he is not God. God is our faith upon which our lives are built, upon which this church is built. And he's the bedrock. I mean, you got Zechariah 6, 11, 13. You got 1 Peter 2. You know, there's so many parts of the Bible that if you look at this context and you read everything else, there's more things speaking about Jesus being the rock upon which the church is built than this. And I think is if you read this little passage on its own, you are going to get confused. You've got to read the whole Bible. Yeah. What you've got to understand is that this small passage, as we might look at it, just ended those few words, upon this rock, I will build my church. We believe that the Bible is God-inspired. We believe that the Bible is complete. No one can add to it, and no one can take away from it. God has spoken to man, he's enabled us to put it down in words, in the book, and that is the Bible. And every word is related to every other word in the Bible. Because God inspired it, so he's got, every word has got a part to play. We might not understand it, we might not see that big picture at times, but it's the living word. We always speak about the Bible as being the living word. We can read a passage thousands of times, and one day, bang, it suddenly means something to us. You know, that's why it's important sometimes when you read verses, and especially verses like this, which can be such a contentious part, and it can kind of disrupt you, and you think, hold it. Peter can't be the rock my life is built upon. You know, he was uneducated, he was a fisherman, you know, he must have been crass, you know, as fishermen go, I don't know, maybe he was, that kind of the lives they lived. But Jesus calls him Peter the rock, and he says in the next part, on this rock I will build my church. Now, the next part I want to go to is the foundation stones. The reason why Jesus, even though he said, I'm going to build this rock, I'm going to build this church on this rock, I spoke about the church having existed from the beginning of time. It was God's chosen people. That's what the church is. God's called out people. Yeah? God's chosen people. But Jesus came into a time and he was going to change the view of the church in very ways. You might say, is Peter the new beginning of the church? Jesus hasn't died yet. You know, he hasn't gone on the cross. So the church we know, which is built upon Jesus dying on the cross and then rising again, that we can call ourselves sons and daughters of the living God, is it any different to those people that lived way before Jesus died on the cross? Those that came out of Egypt, those before Egypt, are they not God's people as well? But when we look at this whole thing of upon this rock I build my church, in one way it's a new charter, it's a new beginning, and seeing the church in a different light. The old one, people had a tent following Moses where they went and worshiped God. God existed out there away from them. They had to come to God. That's how they saw it, even though we know God is everywhere. Came to Jerusalem, they built the temple. The temple was the point of where people gathered. And that's how we see. And as today, we sometimes even interpret that being, we see our churches as being a building of where people meet. Yeah. But God has changed all of that. And starting with Peter, the foundation stone, Jesus, you know, speaks about God's word not being in a certain place. He came when he died. He rent the curtain from the Holy of Holies, Holy of Holies, and it's made us accessible to all of us. And that's when I'm coming on that foundation stone of Peter. God, Jesus, wants us to understand that he's taking Peter as a rock and saying, I am the foundation, and Peter, with you as a kind of indication, I'm going to start and build my church in the new way. My church has always been there, but I'm building my church in a new way. And we are here as what's the name? As God, Jesus wants us, his church to be built in a new way. To show that it's not just a building, it's the people that make the church. And even though Jesus is the rock, the firm foundation that we are built upon, and Jesus is a cornerstone, I don't know much about building, but I, from what I figured and what I've been explained to very much about when you build something, you find and you go down as deep as you need to, you labor the concrete, and then you put your foundation stones. This is not the walls of the house, and that's to make sure that the house is secure and firm. And of course, depending where you are, you might put stilts down into soft ground. People build houses up from the ground, but it's always a firm foundation. Yeah. And the Bible speaks about the foundations that the apostles and preachers will lay down. And I'm pointing towards that and just bringing Peter into that aspect and saying, Jesus start with him and saying, but Jesus eventually, Peter becomes the leader of the whole movement after Jesus dies. You know, Jesus specifically giving that command, he says, Peter, look after my sheep. So he's taking that rock and he's saying, Peter, and as much as we look at the rock, he's saying, this is a living rock. And as part, I'm placing you and I'm from you, we're going to build a church. You know, I'm the foundation and everything about you, Peter, is built in me. And we know what happened to Peter over his life. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, as we hear different aspects of Peter next week, prisons, who knows? There's so much to know, to learn about Peter. But for me, is why did Jesus call him the rock? As an indication that what type of church he was going to build, that he was using people to put his church together. It wasn't brick and mortar, but people himself. And Peter, more importantly than others, because of who he was, because he was chosen, the 12 apostles were chosen, their teaching and the things they've learned with spending time with Jesus over time were the things that they would then preach and they would share with others. They would build the foundation of our lives as Christians, as a church, what it's all about. Yeah. Mike.
Probably all say this is very obvious, but just as you were saying that, it was making me think of the fact that Peter was such a real person, and in a sense it was modelling that relationship, that friendship that he had with Jesus, and linking it in with the whole of the new covenant of having that new relationship with Jesus. So in a sense the church had to change to be part of it, but it's that human aspect of that, and that's something I've never thought about before.
Yeah, like I said, it's the people never saw, well, they never understood that it was something like a church. They understood God was there, existed in a temple, you had to come to him. Jesus has come to change it all, yeah? And it's not written on a tablet, it's not hidden behind a curtain, it's written in the hearts of people. And that's what Jesus has come to do. And because it's written upon the hearts of people, we are those living stones. And that is what I see, this interpretation of how Peter comes into that. And that's why that foundation stone that I'm speaking about is, that's where Peter comes in. Peter is not the rock that the whole church is built on. That is such a huge responsibility that only one person could ever handle, and that is God. I don't think Peter could ever handle nobody. Peter is there to start building foundations into the Christian church and build it up from there. And he's part of that. He's part of that church, you know. And even to guide him, Jesus is still there, not as just not only as the bedrock upon which everything's built, but he's the cornerstone. And that's like the plumb line, as some people say, where we would know where we're going to build, what we're going to do, and how we're going to build. Because there's a part in the cornerstone on which everything is as a guideline. You measure yourself from that cornerstone, and that's how houses are built, from what I understand. You know, in Revelations, it speaks about the New Jerusalem. It's actually quite interesting that it actually speaks about the 12 foundation stones of the gate. The gates cost 12 foundation stones, and those are the names of the 12 apostles. Yeah. So there's a lot of imagery, lots of things relating to how important the apostles are in the building of the church. And we know that the apostles just didn't exist then. They exist over time as God has used men to guide and lead the church in the aspects where he wants us to go and the things we do. So there's a constant building into the foundation. Sometimes we got ourselves confused and we forget what our foundations are. But importantly, the bedrock doesn't change. We know what the bedrock is. God, Jesus, is still the bedrock. What man has over time preached and spoken to about, written about, those foundations, we kind of got distracted, lost, but God has always allowed men to come back in and remind us of what the foundations are. And those are what we believe in. The foundations of the church are constantly being built over and over, but the church doesn't just go up. We expect the church to spread and get bigger and bigger across this whole world. Yeah. So the bedrock goes around the whole world and our foundations will expand, but we need men to come and make sure those foundations are strong, built upon the rock in the right way, and that we look at the cornerstone, which hasn't moved. After all these years, it hasn't moved. You know, it doesn't every so often kind of change direction or go to a different part of the house as another the cornerstone. God is the same as he is now and always will be. That cornerstone is never going to change. Now, in as much as we look at Peter being that rock that I said, as now the living stone is built, it's an encouragement to us to remind us, as Gail was saying, we are now those living stones, and it speaks about a relationship relating to God. That is important. We are not just bricks and mortar that someone comes in, puts us in place, slaps mortar over us or whatever, and then we kind of stay there and that's it, and we grow old. Yeah, and after time somebody comes and they start cleaning us off to make sure we still, it's still part of the house and we still exist. We are part of a living church. As we expect the church to grow, just as God, Jesus spoke to Peter and affirmed him, Peter, you are this rock, and on this rock I will build my church. God wants to remind us and reaffirm to each one of us, you are my church, and you are a living stone in my church, and your importance, no matter how you see yourself in the church, is important to whoever else comes, and you build upon that. And this is a kind of a bit of a warning to us as leaders and preachers. Yeah, we got to continue just making sure that foundation to everybody else is strong and firm, and that it's built right, and it's built according to the cornerstone. Now, another aspect of that foundation was, even as much as Peter is the living stone, another understanding sometimes of that whole passage of when he says, Peter, you're this rock, and he says, on this rock. We just need to go back to the passage itself, and just before that, you know, Jesus comes and he asks them, he says, who do people say I am? And of course, Peter gives this amazing affirmation, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeah, like I said, this is way before Jerusalem, way before he dies, way before he denies him, and Jesus rises from the dead, all of those. And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh or blood, but my Father in heaven." That little passage, if we do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, everything we do is for naught. Everything we do means absolutely nothing. Yeah. For him to be able to say that, you know, the only way he would have heard something like maybe was if he went to the temple, somebody spoke about, or went to the Old Testament to spoke about who the Messiah was. I mean, even the people of knowledge, the Sanhedrin, all those scribes and those things that knew the Old Testament would not accept it, that Jesus was the Messiah. And for him to say that, Jesus is firmly saying, I know that you don't read books. I know you don't have internet access. I know you don't have an encyclopedia at home. I know you don't go home and study the scriptures every night to make sure and find out about me. Yeah. He just says, it's because of my Father has revealed it to you. That's why. And that is such a rock to think that, you know, that little saying says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We don't need anything else. That piece there says it all for us, you know. And to one extent, maybe Jesus was pointing to that rock because of what you just said. And not just because of what you've said, but because of who revealed it to you, goes hand in hand. You cannot know Jesus the Messiah unless the Father reveals it to you. We all know that. You know, we cannot save people. We cannot go and Bible bash them. We cannot go and put up a question and answer and say, if you tick these correct boxes, you're now a Christian. You know, we cannot have a puzzle that people work it out and they get the puzzle right, they become Christians. You know, it doesn't work like that at all. God saves. You know, he uses us to speak to people, to make people aware of who he is. But in the end, he saves and he calls us by name. You know, Jesus has our name before the world began. He knows who's going to be his, you know, and he knows who's going to become part of his loving church that he's going to build it into. Mm? The Messiah. Mm?
I was so glad you spoke about that, because I felt that when I've read it, mm-hmm. and I've looked at other commentaries that have spoke about that. Because mm-hmm. he actually calls him Simon, and he says, "You're blessed." Mm-hmm. And then he says, "You are Peter," which means small rock. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, in the Old Testament, people get renamed through mm-hmm. experiences they've gone through. They've yeah. grown through God. It felt to me when I was reading it that there was something in him saying, Simon, you are blessed. Mm-hmm. I tell you that you are Peter, whatever it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a renaming thing. And I haven't read that anywhere. It's just something that, you know, looking at how he says Simon and then calls him Peter. And then yeah. when I looked at what Peter meant, it means small rock.
Yeah.
So it's like one of the rocks. And the actual passage, as you say before, is a rock, isn't it? Because that is the foundation of us, you know, that the God reveals himself to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So even if we make a mistake like Peter did, where he denied the Christ, maybe I wonder if these words came back to Peter, that all was not lost, you know, after Jesus had said to him, you know, you're Simon about the rock and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that came to his memory, because he must have thought he'd totally blown it
yeah.
at some point, you know, with denying Jesus and stuff. So
Definitely.
Yeah,
I can't see any other way of feeling that of all the people, you go and then you deny him and then you see Jesus die upon the cross. I mean, how wrong can you get it? Yeah. Yeah, but then, like I said, it's not only just him remembering everything Jesus spoke to him, said to him, was the fact that when Jesus rose again, Jesus came back to him and he affirmed him. And he says, Peter, do you love me? You know, that's it for another time. That'll be another passage. There's so much about Peter, you know, but just an affirmation, yeah, that thing. But yeah, then already, you know, says God chose Peter for a reason. Because, yeah, Jesus chose Peter for a reason. Because he saw of the group of his apostles that he chose, disciples, Peter, I want you to be the leader of this church, that we're going to do it in the way I see and I have determined you to be. You're going to be the rock, and a group of you will be leaders. You will build foundations upon this bedrock that is me, yeah, and that's going to be revealed to you by the Father. And through that, we all together come together. God chooses us, put us together, and we are just as much stones and rocks as Peter was, but Peter was an important part for building in those things. Yeah, and of course, the thing that he says about Jesus, the Messiah, is so important that without that, we are nothing. We don't exist as a church. We're just wasting our time, maybe just having good lunch and pudding and food and having good company. Yeah, but we exist because of that saying, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Yeah. Now, I've jumped over from the foundation stones straight into the living stones, and just as you were questions coming out and that, remind you, yeah, Peter's life changed dramatically over the years that he spent with Jesus. God wants our lives to change dramatically, not because we wanted to, because he wants to. Yeah. And the foundation that he used Peter to lay in the lives of those early Christians, he's continually doing that. And it's just a reminder of what I've said earlier. God uses men to continue to just make sure the foundations we build our lives upon is strong. The bedrock that is God is not going to change. And yeah, no matter how far we fall, and no matter how bad we feel we've missed out or we've made mistakes, we can't go further than the bedrock. Yeah, we can't go further than the bedrock. That bedrock is always there for us. Yeah. So just, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to, there's so much about Peter, and I think we want to just give time to expand on what Peter's about, but I think just to make aware of when Jesus spoke about the rock, understand of the bedrock that is Jesus. The foundation stones, which is the works and the preaching of apostles, disciples, teachers over the years, and the living stones, which is us, which is built upon those foundations and upon which is upon the rock.
Very good. Woo! We get a round of applause. Very good. Thank you, Mark. Excellent. We like that. We like that, didn't we? So, excellent. So, it's a bit of time now. We'd love to pray for each other, right? Okay. We talked about, we pray for Paul and Sarah to water them into here. But there are various people who are poorly at the moment. Yes, can we get the... Brilliant. There are various people. Stick your hand up if you're poorly. Any hands over there? All right. Probably better to say stick your hands up if you're not poorly. I think we're small enough number just to pray all together, okay? And we'll, hopefully the kids will come in shortly because they need to be involved in that as well. Just to say while we're doing that, we're going to, and this is sort of slightly jumping out of that for a moment, but Jill's setting up some social events for the rest of this year. And the first one's going to be a walk around Bamborough area, 21st of May, Saturday the 21st of May. So have a think about that, okay? Then there'll be other events coming on, and if you've got other ideas, there'll be another walk, which hopefully Brian can arrange. Ah! But, you know, there'll be barbecues, there'll be the normal things, but we're just cranking that up now for the new year. So that's good. Here are the kids coming.